You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Growing your own business means persisting past uncertainty and rejection, having a clear idea of what your product's about and where you want to take your business. Detroiter Melissa Butler is proof of that. Melissa Butler is the founder and CEO of The Lip Bar. It's a non-toxic, cruelty-free, and vegan line of lipsticks and lip glosses. And her desire to offer something new in the beauty industry, it grew from an idea into something that has been picked up by Target. Melissa Butler, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Cynthia. I appreciate it.
Melissa, what got you to change lanes? You had a career in finance. And what led you to say, you know what, I want to launch a lipstick line?
So, yeah, I was young and living in New York City, working on Wall Street. And ultimately, I decided to start the lip bar because I noticed some really troubling things within the beauty industry. So, first of all, I tried to take a more holistic approach to my lifestyle. I'm like, okay, I have a little bit of money. I can live my best life, essentially. So I started actually reading all of the ingredients on the backs of, like, the foods that I was eating, the hair products I was using, and ultimately the makeup and the cosmetics that I was buying. So I decided to take a more holistic approach and say, like, you know what? I'm going to adapt, like, more of a whole foods lifestyle, and I am going to actually have, like, natural hair care and natural skin care. And when it came to the makeup industry, it was very challenging to actually find makeup that not only looked good on my complexion, but also makeup that wasn't filled with unnecessary toxins and chemicals. So I searched high and low, and what I found was if makeup was a little bit more natural or had any sort of stance like vegan or cruelty-free, it was boring colors. So I literally started making lipstick in my kitchen for my own personal use and then quickly discovered that there was an entire market who felt the exact same way as I did.
Was this about wanting more women to feel included at the beauty table, if you will?
Oh, absolutely. So when I thought about beauty, it was very linear. And even to this day, like, the media and the makeup, the other beauty companies, they tell a very linear story of what beauty is. And the reality is, you know, most people don't look like models. And we shouldn't be forced or feel that pressure that this is the only thing that beauty is, because we believe that beauty looks like you and me and my mom and my sister and there's beauty in everyone. But if you don't have that representation telling this more inclusive story on what beauty is, then you kind of feel left out. And so, like, for instance, at that time when I started formulating the lipstick really only came in, like, reds, pinks, and nudes. And it's like, okay, well, what if I want to express myself? What if I want to wear purple lipstick? Or what if I want to wear, you know, something as bold as, like, black lipstick? I have to search high and low for it. And at the time, we had customers telling us, like, when we first launched, we launched with a bunch of crazy colors. And people would say, like, oh, you know, I've worn this color before, but I used to mix it with eyeshadow and Vaseline to achieve this color.
So from that, at your kitchen table, mixing formulations and coming what the kind of colors you wanted and doing it in a way that is non-toxic and cruelty-free and vegan. So that was the idea. How did your business model evolve, Melissa?
When we first launched, I was making the lipstick in my kitchen. So everything was really small batches, handcrafted, like sourcing really awesome organic oils and really just made with love and care. And it was great, but that's not sustainable. So when I found out that we actually had a business, I was like, okay, well, how can we scale this? So I ended up finding a contract manufacturer in California. So now the small batch thing is gone. And that kind of hurt me because I was so close with the product. But, you know, our ingredients stayed the same. But the one thing that evolved that stood out the most is, you know, when I launched the lip bar, our motto was challenging the beauty standard. And it's still our motto to this day. It's still why I wake up and work hard. But one day I said, am I really challenging the beauty standard if my lipstick comes in at a $20 price point? Because our lipsticks used to be $20. And I'm like, well, now that it's not made by hand, that gives me a little bit more flexibility with the price. And I can really create this beauty that's responsibly made, but also accessible and affordable. So we dropped our price point like 30-40%. So our lipsticks literally went from $20 to $12. And I think that was like the biggest change in the business model. And it just reinforced why we do what we do. And it's really to challenge that beauty standard, because like everything we do is like our beliefs. So it's like, we believe that beauty shouldn't compromise your health. We believe that it should be affordable and accessible, but also we believe that beauty isn't linear. So like our imagery is diverse. Our storytelling is diverse. And everything that we do is just to like try to empower women to be their best selves.
And did you turn to investors to help launch and grow the lip bar?
Not to launch it. So I launched it with my own money from working on Wall Street. But then we decided that we needed to grow. And so we went on a show. We didn't get a deal. And it's a very popular show. And they were really cruel to us when we went on to the show.
I know you're talking about Shark Tank. And we know that they can be kind of vicious to people. So how did that experience of being rejected by the sharks, how did that affect you?
Honestly, a lot of people ask me, like, well, how did you keep going after Shark Tank? And I had never really considered the fact that, you know, taking such public defeat or rejection was such a big deal. For me, it was just like, I know that these people weren't my audience. So it hurt at first, but then ultimately it just made me want to have a laser-like focus on my industry, on people who got it. Because like that night, we got that positive affirmation when the show aired. We got like 30,000 hits to our website that night. Over the next 2 weeks, like an additional 120,000, 130,000 people, and thousands of emails of people just saying like, oh my God, I'm so happy I saw you on Shark Tank. I've been looking for something like this. Or, you know, they didn't know what they were talking about, but now I'm so happy that I found you. I just made a purchase. So when we were on the show, we pitched the idea of our lip bar truck. And they laughed at us. They told us it was a horrible idea. And we built it anyway. Because ultimately, like, I decided that they didn't have the right to decide on my fate and my dreams and my business. So like I tried to find some constructive criticism and decided to just keep moving and moving forward towards my goal, because I really believed in what we were doing and that challenging the beauty standard. So we went ahead, we built the lip bar truck, and it ended up being like our most innovative marketing tactic. So I'll never forget, I was on the New Jersey Turnpike and we're at the toll booth and a lady is looking at the truck, and the truck is beautiful. Like, it's lips all on the outside. It's like a bar and mirrors and lights, and you can actually try on the product. It's essentially a beauty store on the wheels. And so we're at the New Jersey Turnpike at the toll booth, and the young lady is looking at the truck. She's looking at me. She's going back and forth, and she's like, wait a minute, I saw you on Shark Tank and I bought your lipstick. She pulls out a lipstick out of her purse. And like, that was like the defining moment. Like, I knew what we were doing was right.
And it was
going to
work.
Yeah, I think that's like the big thing. Like, you can't allow other people to get in the way of your dreams. Like, you're always going to hear no. You're always going to fail. But it's really like what you do after that failure that's going to be like your defining moment.
And Melissa, you decided to move out of New York City and bring your business back to your hometown of Detroit. Why was that?
I felt like New York didn't need me. I felt like I could do a lot more in my city. My ultimate goal is to build a manufacturing facility at home. And it's been something that we've had to like put on pause for a second as we've been growing. Right now we're making everything in California, but we're working towards building that facility here.
And now Target has picked up the lip bar product. So what does that mean for you in terms of having to ramp up production and growth for your business?
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. Like, we launched in 42 stores just mid-February, and the first 2 weeks we sold out of everything. And so Target is like, now, whoa, like, you have, like, a real business on your hands. So we're already talking about, you know, what that looks like for the future, but also, you know, placing those reorders. So we've had to ramp up our production quite a bit, reaching out to my manufacturers, just letting them know the good news, but also that now there's pressure. We need to start producing a little quickly.
And I know you've got the standalone store in Detroit in Indian Village. Do you want to do more standalone stores? And you also are selling online, but do more standalone stores fit in your plan?
Not at the moment. I really just wanted to do something at home because it's really important for me to have a footprint in Detroit. You know, I feel like this city has given me so much, so I wanted to like do my part in building the entrepreneurial footprint and that startup footprint. So I don't really have more stores, like standalone stores for the Lip Bar, but of course more distribution in like the form of Ulta, Target, et cetera.
What could other would-be entrepreneurs learn from your story, Melissa?
Perseverance and really just having a strong why. So when I think about not giving up, it was really just because I really believed in what I was doing. And I knew, I prepared myself in knowing that things are not going to be easy. So if you have an idea, if you believe in it through and through, there's nothing that's going to stop you. So if you want to get into business, I would just recommend that you really do a ton of research, that you figure out how you fill that white space. Like, why does your product need to exist? And when you believe in that fully, there's nothing that can stop you.
Melissa Butler, the founder and CEO of The Lip Bar, a non-toxic, cruelty-free, and vegan line of lipsticks and lip glosses. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us on Stateside, Melissa.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.